Talk to you about prayer tonight, and I want to talk to you, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to talk to you. I want to challenge you to get involved in a prayer ministry, praying for missionaries, praying for your church, your pastor, just praying. We need to pray, brethren. Now, if we're not careful, and I said we now, and so this is not, I realize that there's a few subjects that I as the pastor could get up here and everybody, if I presented a certain way, we'd all feel inadequate. And prayer is one of those subjects. I understand that. So that's not my purpose. Okay, I understand the warfare that's involved in prayer. And I understand the shortcoming that all of us have when it comes to this matter of prayer. However, I also understand that there is no excuse for us not praying. God has given us the privilege to pray. And God has also given us opportunity. And He's given us not just privilege and opportunity, but there's commandment that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. And so I want to talk to you about prayer, the importance of it, how you can develop a healthy prayer life. Prayer is important. Now, it's important for all of us. There are times and seasons of prayer. There's times that our prayer life may be stronger than others. Perhaps you're sitting here this evening and you say, you know what? I feel that I'm doing pretty good in my prayer life. And if you are, God bless you, and I mean that. That's great. We need people praying. But there may be somebody here tonight say, you know, I've slacked off a little in my prayer life. And I just don't pray. I keep saying I'm going to get back to praying. And I keep intending on getting back to where I once was in my prayer life. And it's a battle. And I want you to know that your pastor's been there, and so has probably most of the people in this church that are not there now. We've been there. Okay? So that doesn't make us better than you. That doesn't make you second rate or second class. It just means that you're in the battle. Because prayer is a battle. It is a warfare. It is, intense. The enemy knows, and I want you to listen to me now. The enemy knows that he cannot keep God from answering our prayer. Now, he can hinder. We know that from Old Testament accounts, like in Daniel, where he hindered through 1 and 20 days, those 3 weeks, he was hindering the communication line. You know what I'm talking about in Daniel? He can hinder prayer. The enemy can. But he cannot keep God from answering our prayer. So what does he do? He keeps God's people from asking in prayer. Now I'm going to say that again. Because we need to understand that. We have an enemy who wants to clog the line. He doesn't want us getting in touch with heaven and praying and asking God's will to be done on earth. He doesn't want that. All right? He doesn't want that communication or that communion. That is a part, just as much as a part of prayer as communication is, as communion with the Lord. And the enemy doesn't want that. And he knows that he cannot stop God from answering our prayer. He can try for whatever way and in any way he attempts to try to hinder that, but he can't stop it. But I tell you what he can do. He can discourage us from asking. He can stop us from offering prayer. And that is just as effective as if though he could, though he cannot, stop God from answering our prayer. Do you understand that? I pray that you do. You see, if we're not careful, we'll have this mindset, well, God knows what I need, and God knows what I have, and God knows, and God will just do it anyway. I've never read that anywhere in the Bible. That's not biblical truth. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about a prayer life. And I'm just going to give you some simple biblical teaching on, hey, let's pray. You know, set a time. First of all, set in your heart, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. It's a determination. Look at these words here that Jesus used in Matthew chapter 7. He said, ask. He said, seek. He said, knock. The word ask there, when you search that word out, it goes right to the derivative of the word desire. There has to be a desire to pray before one will really pray. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, okay? God tells us just about as much what not to pray and how not to pray as He does to pray. There's just certain things we shouldn't do in prayer. We shouldn't offer, and we don't have to go back any further than Matthew 6, as we will in just a moment, but vain repetition. God doesn't want vain repetition. In other words, God just doesn't want us using prayer rhetoric. You know, we hear what other people say and we just kind of adapt what they say, and so we just kind of start using prayer language. If we're not careful, and I'm saying we now, if we're not careful, we'll talk more about praying than practice praying. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I'm praying for you, brother. That's talking about it. Yeah, I'm going to pray for you. That's talking about it. Pray for me. That's talking about it. But we have to be cautious not to just make prayer a part of our rhetoric, our lingo in Christianity, and make it a practice to where we get down to the business of praying, communicating with God. And so I want to talk to you about, let's try to make that happen. All right? And so when we look at this word ask, it speaks of, as I said, desire. And then the word we're going to look at, seek, it speaks of direction. When you think of the word ask, you think of a desire. When you think of the word seek, you think of a direction. You're seeking a direction. And then there's the word knock, determination. So here's three words and three thoughts that are attached to these words. Let's just talk about them simply. What can I do to enhance or solidify or make concrete my prayer life? How can I get back to a dedicated prayer life? Or how can I get started in a dedicated prayer life to where prayer is an essential part of my life? Did you know that God expects that of all of us? Now, that's from the youngest child. Now, listen to me, children. God expects you to pray. And God expects, from the youngest child to the oldest adult, God expects all of us to pray. Let me show you what I'm talking about. If you'll turn back to chapter 6, here in chapter 6, Jesus, when He begins to give instructions on prayer, He doesn't say if, He says when. Because He assumes that in a relationship there's going to be communication. And when we get saved, we enter into a relationship with God, and there's going to be communication. And so He said in verse number 5, look at it, and when, not if, Matthew 6 verse 5, and when, not if, when thou prayest. Look if you would in verse number 6. But thou, when thou prayest. Look at verse number 7. But when ye pray. I don't know that the Lord Jesus could make it any more clear. We ought to be praying. Amen. But there's an enemy. And it's not just the devil. This old flesh doesn't like to pray either. I'm telling you, our flesh will fight against spiritual things, and all of us know this, right? I mean, the flesh will fight against spiritual ministry and spiritual activity. So it's not just the devil, but it's the flesh, and it's the world. So we have like a three-pronged, a threefold enemy that is battling against us to keep us from praying. Prayer is one of the most powerful resources at our disposal. Prayer has done more for the kingdom of God than any one thing in all of God's arsenal. And yet, if we're not careful as Christians, we will forfeit this great and powerful weapon that God has put at our disposal. Been guilty of it myself, and God knows my heart. I do not want to be guilty of it as a Christian. I do not want to live and lead a prayerless life. However, I know that it can happen. It can happen. We can talk about it. We can read about it. We can feel regret about it. There's a lot of things we can do other than just exercise it. And so tonight, I really want to help you determine in your heart, I'm going to exercise prayer in my life. Because brethren, while Fellowship Baptist Church is a church that I believe God has His hand on, I don't think we've even began. I really don't now. And I'm sincere when I say this. I don't think we have touched the hem of the garment of what God can do with a church that'll pray. Now, there's some praying people sitting in this congregation tonight. And you pray for me. And I appreciate that. I do. You just don't know how much I covet and appreciate your prayers. And you pray one for another. And I pray for you. And that's why there's unity. Because we understand the importance of praying for and with one another. But I want to encourage you to listen as we amp up and understand there's yet more that we can do. All right? Back to Matthew 7. Jesus said, ask. Ask. When we think of the word ask, we think of desire. Now, why do we pray? Now, I want you to write this down, okay? Number one, we do not pray to impress God. Okay? Now, some people try. But I want you to listen to me very carefully, all right? You're not going to impress God. You're not. God is not impressed with us. Now, I have to admit, I am greatly impressed with God. But God is not impressed with me. And so, please don't think that your prayer impresses God. As a matter of fact, Jesus spoke against that in chapter number 6 of the book of Matthew. He said, when you pray, don't pray like these people standing out on the street corners and in the synagogues and speaking these loud prayers so that they can be seen of men. He basically said they're tooting their own horn and they have the reward right then. He said, that's meaningless prayer. It's just vain, void, empty words. So when we pray, we're not praying to impress God. Number two, we're not praying to inform God. Notice if you would in chapter 6, just for a moment, in verse number 8, this is something we always have to keep in mind when we're praying. Some people pray like they're letting God in on a secret. And God knows everything. Notice what Jesus said here in Matthew 6 and verse number 8. He said, be not ye therefore like unto them, meaning the Pharisees and the scribes who stand up and try to impress God in their prayer. He said, don't be like them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. So you're not going to let God in on a secret, okay? So when we pray, we need to have that in mind. You say, well, now wait a minute, preacher. If God already knows, why do we pray? Well, we don't pray to impress Him. We don't pray to inform Him, but we do pray to involve Him. Now listen, we invite God. It's a dependence. God, we want You to get involved in our lives because we need You. We need You. God, if You don't get involved, we can't do it. We believe You when You say, Lord, that without You we can do nothing. And so we're inviting You. We are asking for You to get involved in this situation. God, would You help my pastor? God, would You help our pastoral staff and our deacons and our department heads? God, would You help our buses and our facilities? Would you help Dr. Gardner? Would You help these men and their wives and families that are going to these countries and areas to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? God, would you help me be a better husband? See, we're involving God. God, would You help me be a better wife, a better father, a better parent, a better child, a better Christian? God, help me. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit, God. Help me be a better soul winner. God, I want to direct more people to You. I want to be bolder in my witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's what prayer does. It's inviting and involving God. God, I need You. I cannot do this in myself. You know, when we attempt to do things without inviting and involving God, it is a source and a sign of pride in our lives that we don't need God. We can do this. Brethren, I do not want to be a part of a ministry that thinks we do not need God, that we can do it without Him. That kind of ministry is destined to eventually crash. And so when we ask, we're asking not to impress or inform, but to invite God. God, we're inviting You. Now, there's three reasons I wrote down. Number one, for fellowship. The Bible teaches in John chapter 15, Jesus said, if ye abide in Me In my words abiding you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That word abide. See, when I pray, I'm fellowshipping. When Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, he said, when you pray, enter into your closet. Get alone and commune, just you and God. That's communion. Can I encourage you to do that? You say, preacher, I don't have a place where I go to pray. You ought to develop a place. Now, it could be out in the woods. Listen, there are people who have a place. Maybe it's by an old rock or an old tree stump. Maybe it's an old park bench. Might be on your back porch. Maybe in a swing on your front porch. It could be in your house. It may be at your desk. It may be in your living room chair. I don't know where that place is for you, but every person needs that place. The secret place. Now, I'm not saying that's the only place that you pray, but it ought to be a place that you regularly retire to pray. Have a place. Make that your place. I've just found that over the years, it's a good thing to do in order to establish a consistent prayer life. All right? So, ask. Let me show you something about this asking. In Matthew chapter 7, the first time Jesus said it in verse number 7, he said, ask, and it shall be given you. And then he goes down in verse number 8, and he says, for everyone that asketh. You see that word there? It's a continuation. Everyone that ask. All right? Not only be consistent in your prayer, but be persistent. Sometimes we're so easy to give up, aren't we? I was talking in our Sunday school class this morning and encouraging our Sunday school students and us as a class, with me included. God help us not to give up so easy on others and on Him. Help us to be people that are persistent and that will not give up. You know, I don't want to give up on anybody. Now, I've given up on people, but I don't want to. I'm glad God didn't give up on me. And brethren, if God's not going to give up on them, let's you and I not give up on them. Now, we've got some folks that's going to be visiting our church as missionaries, and I don't know what these folks are going through. I've never met any of these folks. But I tell you this, I know that people get tired, and I know people need encouragement, and I know people need to be lifted and ministered to. And it may be that God is not only sending them here to share with us, but God is sending them here so we can share with them. And the only way we're going to do that is to begin to pray and say, God, and call their name out and know some things about them. The handouts that have been given to us, read those. I challenge you. Say, preacher, I took them home and I put them on my desk, and I understand that. It's probably not your desk. It's probably your nightstand or what you call a coffee table, right? And there it is, and you say, I'm going to get to that later. And then, hey, as we get busy, right? Yeah. We get busy, and if we're not careful, we'll not read that. And we have every intention to do so. I want to encourage you now. Read. Call that family's name out. Know some things about them. And when they come, be able to look them in the face and say, yeah, that's right, your brother Gates going to Egypt. And be able to communicate with them and be able to tell them, I have been praying for you. You just will never know, in case it's happened to you, what kind of encouragement that will be to them. Occasionally, there are people sitting in this building right now that on a Sunday morning, when I'm sitting at my desk, all of a sudden my phone will go, bing, and I'll look and somebody will say, praying for you today. You just don't know what that does for your pastor. Now, I'm not soliciting text. Okay, I'm not. But I'm trying to make a point here. You would be the same way. If you're going through a hard time, maybe the trudging is deep, the mud is thick, the struggle is real. And you're just having a hard time putting one foot in front of the other. And all of a sudden, you get a notification or you get a phone call or something, a note in the mail, a card, And somebody says, they don't not have to write a paragraph, two paragraphs, a letter. They just simply say, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. You will not know, in case it's ever happened to you, what that will do for you. Am I right? How many of you had that, something similar to that to happen? Nothing like it, brethren. Nothing like it. Now, these folks are real too. They're human beings. And they need to know there is a group of people praying for us. They're not just coming here so we can look them over and test them. They're coming here so we can fellowship with them and so we can encourage them. I want to know where their heart's at. I want to know, some things that's going on in their life. I want to know these things. And you do too. And the only way we're going to want to know that in a way that's going to be helpful is to pray for them. All right? So ask. Ask. That's the first thing. Ask. Ask. Number two, seek. Seek. When we seek, it speaks of direction. In Matthew chapter number 7, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. And he said down in verse number 8, everyone that asketh, receiveth. What's that mean? Just keep asking, you keep receiving. Amen. John R. Rice wrote a book years ago, and he just said, prayer is just as simple as this, asking and receiving. You say, oh, preacher, it can't be that way. I don't know. That's what Jesus said. I'll go with him. Amen. Yeah. God's going to answer your prayer. And I'm going to talk to you about that before we close the service tonight. God answers prayer, brethren. Now listen to me. God answers prayer. There's an enemy out there that wants us to think God doesn't answer prayer. And he wants to discourage us from asking because he's telling us, you can ask and ask, but God won't answer. I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, Jesus said right here in verse number 8, for everyone, hey, that means you, that means me, everyone that asketh, receiveth. Is that what he said? That's what Jesus said, brother. Brethren, on the authority of God's word, I can stand here and tell you, God answers prayer. So I want to encourage you to pray. The devil's trying to get us to quit praying. The devil's trying to get us to back off of praying. The devil's trying to rob us of our prayer time and discourage us from praying. Now, praying is work. It's warfare. And if we're going to be men of prayer, if we're going to be people of prayer, we are going to have to sacrifice some things. We're going to have to learn that we're in a battle. Listen, when you realize you're in a battle, you prepare for it. When you do not realize you're in a battle, you will not prepare for it, and you will lose. So I want to encourage you now. Prepare for the battle. And then enter the battle with the intent on winning. I'm not going to let the enemies keep me from praying. There's too much at stake. Amen, brethren? Amen, church. Come on now. Amen? Let me encourage you. Please, you need to pray. There's people counting on you to pray. The reason you're sitting here today as a Christian, somebody prayed for you. That's how powerful prayer is. Somebody called your name out before the throne of God. That's why you're sitting here saved today. And there's some people that are waiting on somebody to call their name out. So please don't give up on them. Don't give up on them now. Ask. Ask. Why? Because everyone that asketh, receiveth. And we'll get to that in just a moment. May not be what you thought it was going to be. May not be how you thought it was going to happen. But everyone that asketh is going to receive. Number two, seek. That's direction. Three things I want to say about this. Number one, seek the purpose of God. That's the will. Seek God's will in a matter. Sometimes we're not careful. We'll get up and we'll make... Listen, I can't tell you. Oh, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago, I read something that got my attention. And it said, go through one day and write down every time you make a decision. I couldn't do it. it was overwhelming. The decisions that we make every day of our life. Decisions. Hundreds of decisions we make every day. We need to get God involved. See, that's what prayer does. Prayer gets God involved. Remember, it's not to impress Him. It's not to impress Him. It's not to inform Him. It's to involve Him. And so when we seek, we're seeking God. God, get involved in the purpose of my life. Get involved and let me know what your will is in these matters. That's what prayer's for. All right? We seek God's purpose. We also seek God's presence. I want to show you something. If you'll turn to the book of Acts with me just for a moment. I do not understand all there is. Acts chapter 4. I do not understand all there is to understand about the presence of God. I will tell you this, and I am not. Listen, somebody's going to leave here tonight after I make this statement. They're going to say, man, our preacher's a Pentecostal. Now, you call me what you want to call me. I'm a Christian, and I know what it is to be in the presence of God. I have been in the presence of God so strong that I literally got on the floor. I didn't even want to look up. You say, well, you must be crazy. No, I wasn't crazy. I was just in the presence of God. And if you've ever been in the presence of God, you say, what do you mean? I mean that God will manifest himself to a people that will pray. Now you watch this. You say, well, God's everywhere. Oh, I know that. But God has a way to manifest himself to a people that will pray. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 4. I do not have time because of the time. But here, the disciples had healed. Jesus had healed through the disciples the man at the gate beautiful. And they had been called in and reprimanded and told, we don't want you doing this anymore. We want you to stop. And they were really upset. The real reason they were upset is in verse number 2 of chapter 4. They were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection. That's the real reason. Okay? And they threatened them and said, hey, look, we want you to stop this stuff. Stop it now. And so they threatened them. And in verse number 17 of chapter 4, that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, and so that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And you know the answer to that. Peter and John answered in verse number 19 and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than to God, judge ye, but for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I say amen to that. Amen. And verse number 21, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go. So they come back to the church. In short, they tell them what's going on, right? And God, they begin to pray. In verse number 24, it says, when they heard, the church now, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and they began to pray. And I'm going to tell you, the power of God fell. All right, you say, what God? Our God. The God that's in this room tonight, okay? The God that lives in you, our God. When we seek, we need to seek God's purpose, but we need to seek God's presence. See, did you know the Bible teaches that God could be in the place and you won't even know it? Remember in Genesis 28, verse 16, where Jacob said, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. So you see, we can just be in a place and God could be present, but the manifestation of his presence would not be known to us. And brethren, I don't want that. I want to know when God is on the scene. How about you? And it's going to happen when God's people begin to pray. This church began to pray. And when they began to pray in one accord, the Bible says, as God often did in the early church, in verse number 31, and when they had prayed, look at chapter 4, verse 31 of the book of Acts, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. God got on the scene. Amen. That's what we need. We need God to stay on the scene. Now, how's that going to happen? We need to pray. We need to pray. You say, does that happen often, preacher? Well, I don't know. Let's see. Turn over, if you would, to Acts chapter number 16. You say, yeah, but that was a whole church full of people. Yeah, I know. Here we got two men, Paul and Silas, in prison. In Acts chapter number 16, the Bible says in verse number 26, well, we'll go back to 25, Acts 16, verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately, the Bible says, all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. God showed up. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that when we seek, we not only seek, as we go back to Matthew chapter number 7, God's purpose, but we seek God's presence. God, we need you. We need you to manifest yourself. I want the manifestation of God's presence in our services and in my life. And I believe I speak to a group of people that do. Brethren, I not only want it, I need it. I need it. There's something about knowing that God has showed up that'll really increase your faith and give you a spiritual confidence. All right? Then the third thing, when we're seeking, we seek the power of God. Jesus often spoke about the power of God, and he often talked about how that we need to pray. Jeremiah said this. He said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not." Now that's God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. Do we still believe that? You want God to show up? Do we want power on our services, on our life, and our witnessing? Do we want boldness as we speak? Do we want God to get on the preaching and the singing and the ministry of Fellowship Baptist Church and His hand to stay on us? Then we got to pray, brethren. We need to pray. You say, "Preacher, we are praying." Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop praying. And for those of you who have gone through a little lull, I want to encourage you, come on back. Get back on track. Fight through it. Amen? Get with somebody. You know, can I tell you something that God's been speaking to my heart about? Let me tell you what we Baptists do. And we're guilty now. We're guilty. Preachers are probably more guilty than members. So there's something going on in the church. And so I'm going to go to this brother. "Have you heard? Such and such is going on." That does no good at all. That's about as worthless as you can get. Why don't I go to this man and say, "Brother Corey, I want to pray with you. I need you to agree with me in prayer. We got this situation going on. We need God to get in on the scene." You see, when you pray about things, God will get involved. When you talk about things, the devil gets involved. Say amen right there. We just need to learn what it is to join up with people and pray. We've gotten out of that. There was a day now, and we've got a man here that could stand and testify this, and maybe more. There was a day when the old timers, when there were some things going on, they got together and prayed. They didn't get together and talk about it. Oh, they talked about it all right to the one who could do something about it. And God, get us back to that place in corporate prayer to where we're not ashamed to go up to somebody and say, "Hey, I got something going on. I want you to join me in prayer. Would you agree with me in prayer that God would help and do something in this situation?" There's somebody here tonight. It's time for you to quit bearing that burden and trying to bear it on your own and talking about it. You need to go to someone that you can, listen, that you can confide in and you know will pray with you and say, "Brother, I need you to pray with me about this matter. Let's pray." That's the way that God wants His people to do it. So number one, ask. Number two, seek. Seek the purpose of God, the presence of God, the power of God. And then finally, and I want you to turn to two passages in Luke and we'll close tonight. Luke chapter number 11. Luke 11. Jesus said, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." The word "knock" speaks of a determination. So we said, ask speaks of what? Desire. All right, desire. Do you have a desire to pray? You know, I think everyone does. I do. I think even people that are not saved, they don't even realize that they are asking for things. When you get saved, you know who to ask. And God will help us learn how to ask. And we'll begin to ask God. But then there's another level. They're seeking. We want God not just to get involved in what we're asking for, but we want Him to get involved in the purpose and the His presence, His power in our lives. We want to involve Him into the integral parts of our lives. But now this knocking, it's intense. In Luke chapter number 11, the Lord Jesus gives this parable about what's called importunity or persistence. Look, if you would, in the first part of chapter number 11, we'll not read that. But he starts out with what's known as the model prayer. And then if you'll skip down and just a few verses down, you'll find in verse number 9, he picks up where we've been reading in the book of Matthew. And he says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." But in between there, he gives us a good lesson on how we can't give up on prayer. Look at what the scripture says. In verse number 5, the Bible says, "He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight You better be a friend if he comes at midnight. Say amen right there. And go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. Now that's a key word. That's a good word. The word means persistence or determination. Because he won't give up. And when Jesus speaks of asking, he's speaking of desire. And when he's speaking of seeking, he's speaking of direction. But when he's speaking of knocking, he's speaking of this word, importunity. He comes at midnight, and what's he doing? He's knocking. He's knocking. Friend, I need something. I need something. I have someone. I do not have any bread to set before him on his journey. Can you lend me 3 loaves? And Jesus said he will not get up because he's his friend. But in verse number 8, because of his importunity, he will arise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, and then he goes into the asking and seeking and knocking. What's this teaching me? What's it teaching you? It's teaching that sometimes God wants to search our hearts, and he wants to show us, and really to show ourselves. Are you serious about this? Sometimes we are so shallow. God, give me this. God, give me this. God, how bad you want it? So I got somebody I'm really praying for. I want to get saved. When'd you quit? After a week? I'm not being mean. I'm just saying that if we're not careful, that's the way we treat things. We think God is like a genie in a bottle. That our wish is his command. No, listen. When we ask God and God doesn't do it right away, that doesn't mean we stop praying. That doesn't mean God's not going to give it. We just need to keep asking and keep asking and keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking. One other scripture, Luke chapter 18. In Luke 18, Jesus gives us a very similar parable. In verse number 1 of Luke 18, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You ought not to faint. I ought not to faint. But we do, don't we? You know why we ought not to faint? There's a few reasons, but one of the greatest reasons I can think of is Jesus said, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I wonder how many blessings and answers to prayer were not distributed and bestowed because we fainted. He went on to tell this parable, and he said this in verse number 2. He said, there was a city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Verse number 6, and the Lord said, hear that the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I don't know what your situation is here tonight. You may be asking God for something. You may be praying about something. Maybe it's something very near and dear to you. But don't you quit praying now. The devil wants you to give up praying. The devil wants me to quit praying. God wants us to quit. The devil wants us to quit praying. He wants us to give up. But God has encouraged us over and over and over again, come unto me. Come into the throne room of my grace. It's open. The middle wall partition has been torn down. We can now enter in boldly into the throne room of God. Prayer is important in your life and mine. So I want to encourage you, don't give up on praying. Number 1, God answers our prayers. How? Well, he answers them directly. One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible is when Abraham's servant there in Genesis chapter number 24 is praying. He said, Lord, you know, he goes through this, Lord, show mercy, you know, and it, let it be that this next woman that comes and waters the camel. And the Bible says, while he was yet speaking, Rebekah rounded the corner. I just love that. I just love that. Can I tell you, God knows what we need before we ask him. And God is at work in our lives. And I'm thankful that there's times that I've prayed, and if you've been saved any length of time and you know anything about prayer, you will be able to testify too. There's been times I prayed and immediately God answered my prayer right there. Amen. But you know, it's not always that way. There are other times when God will not directly answer our prayer, but he will answer it in a different way. Unfortunately, we have this habit of prescribing our own answers to our prayers. Anybody else do that? You know, we pray and we think, well, okay, God, not only is this what I want, but this is how I want you to do it. God doesn't work on our timetable, and God doesn't do what we say do. All right? So many times God will answer the prayer, but he'll do it differently. And because we have so fixed our minds on what we expect, we miss it. And so I want to encourage you, when you pray, let God do the answering in his time and in his way. All right? It's better for our prayer lives that we do that. Number 3 of 4, sometimes God just flat out says no. Why? He knows what's best for us. Now, God will withhold no good thing from us. And God knows what's best for us. And sometimes God will say, nope, that's not good for you, and I'm not going to get it. Did you know that a good parent will never give their child everything they want? I'm going to say that again. A good parent will never give a child everything they want. Now, a good parent will strive to give their child everything they need. But there's a great difference between what we need and what we want. And God has promised to meet all of our need, Philippians 4:19, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But now, wants is a different thing. I'm glad I can report to you that God has given me all of my need and many of my wants. But sometimes God has told me no. I may not have wanted to accept that, but I've learned and I'm learning to accept God's answer to my prayer. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Finally, not only does God answer prayer directly, differently, does he deny, but sometimes God will delay the answer. Sometimes God will not say yes. Sometimes God will not say no. God will say, not now. All right? God's denials are not God's refusals. And so we need to understand that. How's your prayer life? Really? And we can try to act spiritual, and I'm not. I'm not trying to shame anyone. I'm not trying to throw guilt. I want to help you. I want you to develop a prayer life. You say, preacher, I have a prayer life, but I know it could be stronger. What are you going to have to do for that to happen? Are you going to have to set your alarm clock 15, 20 minutes earlier? Are you going to have to move that clock across the room so you'll actually have to get out of bed to go turn it off so that you will get out of bed? And listen, I'm not indicting anyone. I'm trying to help you. I don't know what it's going to take for you. You say, I already get up early and I just can't afford to get up any earlier. What can you do? You have to make that decision. But when we get too busy to pray, we're too busy. O.A.W. Tozer said, take time to be holy. Brethren, I pray that God would help us to realize the importance of that. We're not going to be the men and women of God that we could and should be if we do not have a consistent prayer life. So what about it? Let's all stand to our feet. What have you got to do? God has certainly spoken to my heart. Perhaps this missions revival will be an awakening in a different way for Fellowship Baptist Church. Maybe God will awaken us of the need not only to give in our faith promise and not only to help send and encourage in our fellowship and our encouragement, not only possibly not even to commission and send one from this congregation of believers, but perhaps this year God will really dawn on our heart the important ministry of the ministry of prayer in missions. Sometimes when I begin to think about myself as the pastor and how little I pray for our missionaries, and you might think bad of me, but God knows my heart. I need to pray more for our missionaries. I pray for them. Sometimes my mind and my heart gets so overwhelmed, but that's no excuse. There's always time, and there's always a way. I've just got to find it and do it. How's your prayer life?